This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, located at 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250 New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And this is Pastor H. G. Gayo speaking, inviting you to stay tuned with us this next hour. May the blessings of our Lord rest upon us. Our Father, we thank Thee for this hour. Thank Thee for the study. It's past. Bless it. Bless Thy word. We come humble before Thee this morning. Cleanse us from sin. Draw on our thoughts from everything, the world. And our Father, may our minds be stayed upon Christ in this hour. Oh, teach us by Thy Spirit. Teach us by Thy Word to be imitators of Christ. May show forth the praise of Him who called us out of darkness to His marvelous light. We pray, our Father, for Thy people here and everywhere. Pray for the bereaved. Our Lord, let Thy blessings rest upon them. Pray for the sufferers, the ones who are suffering. Pray for the sick, wherever they are. Our precious Lord, Thou knowest all about us. Thou dost know we're nothing but dust. But Thou canst be felt with the feeling of our infirmities. Because, our Lord, You suffered in the flesh. Though God in the flesh, yet You suffered. And every time Thy people suffer, You suffer. And our precious Lord, we know that everything that's said or done against Thy people is done against Thee. And You understand all about us. And this teaches our Lord to be examples to others, to take up our cross patiently and follow Thee. Guide us and lead us in this broadcast. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let us turn to number 405 and sing Come Thou Fount. 405. Come Thou Fount of every blessing. Every blessing, tune our hearts to sing Thy grace. Be seated. Be seated, please. I want us to sing number 321. Number 321. I want to say this. My heart was saddened since last night when I heard of the death of our dear friend, one of our dear friends here. We all know Guy. He's with us this morning. The death of his brother yesterday. He called me last night to pastor, pray for me. He said, you know, it could have been me. It could have been me. But I wanted to sing this song here. Does Jesus care? I want to dedicate it to Him. Let's sing it. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all pray for God and His family. As I have been. I want to bring a message this morning from the Word of God. You'll find it in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. The 63rd chapter of Isaiah, the first verse. What does it tell us? What a gracious scripture it is. Let us read it together. Who is he? Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Now listen to this next phrase here. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Now who is it? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Let's read again. Listen. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. The Lord speaks, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Now the reference is to the Lord Jesus Christ. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Look at the latter part of that verse again. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. At the beginning of this message, let me make a few remarks concerning the one we shall be speaking of here, the man and God whom we call our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are taught from the Word of God that Christ is God, and yet He is man. Christ is God, and yet He is man. That He is very God, equal and co-eternal with the Father, and that He is the eternal Son of God. Psalms 41:13 says, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. Christ did not cease to be God when He became man. He was equally God over all, blessed forevermore, as 2 Corinthians 11:31 tells us. When He was the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3, as before His incarnation, from His birth as a babe in the manger of Bethlehem, the Scriptures teach us that He grew to the stature of manhood and became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Praise the Lord. Understanding.
Bone of our bone.
And flesh of our flesh. In everything except our sin. His sufferings, His hunger, and above all, His death and burial are strong proofs that He was man, and yet as man, He was most truly God. Isaiah 9:6 tells us, if you want to turn there, I'll read it here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now you listen, we're talking about a mighty Savior here this morning. 9:6, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is the one who is our Savior. In other words, He is our daysman. And that word daysman means mediator. He's our mediator. And as our text indicates, He is mighty to save. Praise God for a mighty Savior. May God the Holy Spirit help us this morning on this subject and use it to the salvation of souls. A mighty Savior. I want to talk about a mighty Savior this morning who is mighty to save. And let's begin with this. What are we to understand by the words to save? He is mighty to save. Now, what does that mean? Commonly, most men, when they read or hear these words, consider them to mean salvation from hell. Let me ask you one thing this morning. You say you want to be saved. What do you want to be saved from? What is your meaning or definition of salvation? As I just stated, many take salvation as a deliverance from hell. Well, they're partially correct. That's right. It is true. Christ does save men from the penalty of their guilt. And I praise Him for that. Not to be guilty anymore. Not to be a transgressor, a kind of a transgressor against God anymore. And that He blots out our iniquity. And that's true. Blessed is that man whom God will not impute sin. Whose sins are all blotted out. Never to be remembered against them anymore. That's a lot to be thankful for, isn't it? But salvation goes further than that. Oh, yes. To take away our transgression. Take away our sins. As far as the east is from the west. And that the iniquities of His people are blotted out forever by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who made the atonement for us. All of these things are blessed indeed. But that is not the whole meaning of the words to save. And that's what rejoices my heart when I got to reading this and meditating and studying this. To save means something more than just delivering, penitent sinners from going down to hell. I know when God awakened me years ago, back in 1952, I was confronted with that. I knew I was going to hell if I didn't repent. But there came a time that I forgot all about hell. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him. I wanted Christ. I wanted Him. And I had someone come to my house when I was under conviction. I wanted to talk with somebody. And he was the assistant pastor here. Came down to my house in Marrero. He sat down with me for quite a while to talk with me about my salvation. And the only thing he could tell me, he said, "You know, you're going to hell. You're going to hell." But the more he said it, the less I feared it. Because I didn't want to talk about hell. I wanted to talk about Christ. I wanted to talk about a Savior. And that's all he was able to tell me. "You're going to hell." Now, everyone before me this morning and out in Radio Land, you know, if you haven't repented as yet, you know if you don't repent, you're going to hell. You know that. And you know the truth and the strength behind that, those promises of God's Word. You know that. As every individual here this morning, you do have knowledge of the truth. And if you do not repent, then you will go to hell with that truth. And you've heard that over and over again. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is that there's hope in Christ. There's a mighty Savior to be had. You are aware of your situation. You know you're lost. God's awakened you to your lost condition. And you know, if you do not come to know this mighty Savior, that you will go to hell knowing that He was preached to you. Now get this. To save means something more than just delivering penitent sinners from going to hell. To save pertains to the whole of the great work of salvation. Now, you get this. To save pertains to the whole of the great work of salvation, from the first holy desire that you have, the first spiritual conviction, and onward to complete sanctification. All is done of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is not only mighty to save those who do repent, but I tell you something else, and I've seen it come to pass. He has the power to make men repent. Now, you think that. He has the power to make men repent. He has the power to break hearts, to break rebellion, to break down everything that keeps the sinner from coming to Him. He has that miraculous power that the preacher cannot give. You might say, "Well, I won't repent. I love my sins. I love what I'm doing. I love my way. I won't repent." But if God ever takes hold of you, sinner, if God ever puts His hook in your jaws, your tones will be quite differently, I'm sure. Not only will He carry believers to heaven, but He is mighty to give men new hearts and to work faith in them. We read in Ezekiel, the 11th chapter of Ezekiel, the 19th and 20th verses, "And I will give them one heart." Listen what God's going to do. "I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take that stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in My statutes and keep Mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be My people, and I will be their God." He is mighty to make the man or woman who hates holiness love it. He is mighty to make the blasphemer who despises His name to bow his knee before Him and crown Him Lord, and to make the most abandoned reprobate turn from his downward path to hell. He's a mighty Savior. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christ did not die for men in order that men might save Himself. No, sir. He came to do the work in them. He came to do the work for them from the first even to the last. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending." Praise God, He is. He is the author, beginning and ending of every individual salvation. Begins with Christ, ends in eternity, and continues in eternity. I could never believe. Now, I want you to get something. I could never believe that Christ came into this world to put us into a state where we might save ourselves. If that were so, then why preach? Knowing a little of the wickedness of men's heart, because I know something of my own, knowing how much natural men hate the gospel of Christ, I would despair of any success in preaching the gospel if its effects depend upon the voluntary acceptance of it by unrenewed or unregenerated men. I'm glad that salvation is not dependent upon man, upon the preacher, upon my influences. If I did not believe that there was a force going forth with the words of Christ which makes men willing in the day of His power and which turns them from sin by the almighty, overwhelming, constraining force of a divine influence, I would then cease to glory in the cross of Christ. Listen, my friends, to 1 Corinthians 1:18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, if you're saved, you are saved by power. The gospel of Christ that we preach and labor so hard for in order that others might hear You might ask the question, does it have an influence upon people? Does the preaching of the cross have an influence upon people? Well, it did me. I read the letters from you out there in Radio Land, whom God has awakened to their lost condition. I hear of those awakened here, and I even see those before me, sitting before me, and how many are listening to us in Radio Land who were once the vilest of sinners, who were once the most rebellious of sinners, who were once drunkards, who were once blasphemers, once self-righteous sinners, and you can go on and on, such like. But now, you're clothed and in your right mind, walking in holiness and in the fear of God. There's the marvelous effects of the gospel. How many of us, just like some of us perhaps sitting before me now, you're caught in the web of Satan, in the lust of the world, you wonder how in the world can such a gospel save you? You count yourself even the outcast of Satan. But you know, there's not an individual here this morning or listening to me out in Radio Land that at one time you couldn't classify yourself in that same situation. God gave unto us a mighty Savior to save us from our sins, to break the power of sin over us, to break the power of the love of the flesh, the lust of the world over us. Give us a new heart, a new nature, new influences, new principles, a new life. Put us in our right mind. You know, every man outside of Christ is out of their mind. That's true. You don't have a right mind until you're in Christ. We're all crooked. We're all messed up. Unregenerated children of the devil. But God gave unto us a Son, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him, long after Him, want Him, desire after Him, will never perish, but have eternal life. Yes, the gospel is a power. The gospel is an irresistible agent of good. Who then shall deny its truth? The highest proof of Christ's power is not that He offers salvation. Now you get this. It's not that He offers salvation. Not that He bids you take it if you will. But that when you reject it, when you hate it, when you despise it, He has a power whereby He can change your mind and make you think differently from your former thoughts and turn you from the error of your way. How many can say that this morning? You know, Pastor, one time I hated the gospel. I hated its truths. I loved my sins.
I hated everything about the gospel. I didn't want it. Now, that's what I'm talking about this morning. The gospel is the power of God and salvation, in that it's able to change your mind. Christ is mighty to save. Now let us look a little further at the beginning. Mighty to save. Our blessed Lord is not only mighty to make men repent, to quicken the dead in sin, to turn them from their follies and their iniquities, but He is exalted to do more than that. Listen. He is mighty to keep us saved after He saves us. Now, listen to it. Listen. He is mighty to keep us saved after He saves us. Just to think, I've been saved now since 1952. 22 years. And He keeps me saved. Now, how does He keep us saved? By His almighty power. He's mighty to save. You know, once you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about falling away. You don't have to worry about perishing. There may have been sometimes doubts and fears to that effect in the early stages of our Christian life. But oh, as we see the grace of God manifested and work in us and through us, we come to know that salvation by grace is eternal, and that when God puts us in Christ, it is for now and forever. And that He not only saves us, but He keeps us saved, and until He gets us the glory. That's the marvelous effect of the gospel. He is mighty to save. You see, it's just more than being saved from your sins and saved from hell and saved from your iniquities and transgressions. But He is mighty to save and to keep us saved. He's mighty to cast away doubts and fears and unbelief. And the gospel is mighty to establish us and keep us and influence us in the ways of the Lord, to assure us day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, that we can never fall from what we have in Christ. Oh, what a mighty Savior we have. And another thing, another thought He gives us here, that our Lord today, as He prays for us, and He'll never cease praying for us, and therefore we can never fail, never fall. And let me say something else. You cannot fall from grace. The more I think about what I hear other individuals say, you cannot fall from grace. Because grace is the undeserving mercies, kindness that God bestows on us. And you and I can never fail of that as a child of God in Christ. You can't. Now, we may at times walk out of the way of grace and walk in our way, walk in our flesh, and might not walk in the Spirit. And my desire is to constantly walk in the Spirit of that grace, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of Christ. But even then, God's kindness and pity and mercy never changes. And you can't fall from the grace of God. I praise the Lord for that. Because He's mighty to keep us in His grace. He's mighty to save. Now, I've heard that statement, you can fall from grace. No, you can't. Because if I fall from the love of God, if I fall from the mercies of God, I plunge in hell. And what is grace? Grace is God's favor, kindness, and mercy extended to poor sinners. Extended to His children. That's what grace is. And I praise the Lord that I'm in grace. And I'm there to stay. Just like you are. If you're saved. And you're growing in grace. In that grace. In that knowledge. In love. In His mercies. You're growing there. And where at one time you had doubts and fears and probably misunderstandings of the things of the Lord and the way of salvation, as you grow, they're gone from you. They flee from you. There's not a doubt in my mind about my salvation in Christ. And like I said now, in my early Christian days, there were many doubts and fears. And there was much unbelief. But as you grow in the grace of you in Christ, and you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, those things will take wings and fly from you. And you'll be able to stomp with the Apostle Paul and with all the saints of God and say, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. Now, what's taking place in our hearts and lives is the work of a mighty Savior. Peter, I pray that your faith will fail not. Gale, I know you have no power, but I'll give you power. You see? That's from a mighty Savior. I know you're weak, but I'll give you my strength. That'll uphold you. That'll be your sufficiency. You see, I'm talking about a mighty Savior. He's not only able to save you, but He's able to keep you saved. Day by day, week by week, month by month. Yes, He is mighty to save us. Listen, He is mighty to keep us saved after He saves us. And mighty to preserve us in His fear and love until the end when He takes us to glory. Let us turn in our Bibles, everybody, to the 1 Peter, the first chapter. I want us to read something here that has blessed my heart ever since God saved me. Now, I used to hear my late pastor preach many a time along this, and how heartening it was to me and refreshing. 1 Peter, the first chapter, begin reading the third verse. Listen to it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, listen to it, and undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept. How are you kept? We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Praise the Lord. Christ does not save us and then lets us shift around for ourselves and do for ourselves. No, He doesn't. Philippians 1:6 says, Listen, take heart, awaken sinner, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform that, perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is a Savior, mighty to save. Yes, Christ carries the good work on. He who imparts the first germ of life, which quickens the dead soul, gives afterwards the life which prolongs the divine existence of that individual. I'm glad he left it not for me to keep up. I know there are individuals who have to constantly keep their profession pumped up, their feelings. Oh, but those in Christ, it is Him who keeps it for us. He keeps us saved, influences our soul. Christ carries the good work on. He gives afterwards the life which prolongs the divine existence and bestows that mighty power which bursts asunder every bond of sin, every love of pleasure of the flesh, and lands that soul perfected in glory. Praise the Lord. And that's salvation of a mighty Savior. Breaks every tire of the world. And gives that soul new power. God never makes a man truly alive to spiritual things without carrying on that work in his soul even to the end. Salvation, my friends, is of the Lord. He gives us such an inward life and such a power within us that we as His dear children can no more turn back than the sun can cease to shine. Did you get that? Let me repeat it. He gives us such an inward life and such a power within us that we as His dear children, and that word dear means blessed, can no more turn back than the sun can cease to shine. A child of God. Now you get this. A child of God. An individual in Christ can never turn back to the world. Now that's the telling of a true Christian, of a child of God, can never go back to the world. Now, I'm not saying you'll never see him. but to stay and live and habitually find your pleasure in those things, never can. Never can. Now, let me tell you something. That's the power of the gospel. I must leave you in Radio Land. Here is next Sunday morning, 7 to 8, the Voice of Truth broadcast, the 10 to 11 Bible School of the Air, and the 11 o'clock worship hour. Goodbye. God bless you. In closing, in our closing remarks here, I want us to turn to Romans, the first chapter, and read the 16th and 17th verses of the first chapter. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And those that turn back, those that draw back and go back to the world, you can be sure there was never a work of grace there, a mighty force to keep them, to save them, and then to keep them saved until they get the glory. Now you see what salvation in Christ is? You see what a mighty Savior God has given us? And the mighty Savior that we preach from this pulpit, who's able to save you and keep you saved, and you don't have to be afraid and fearful of falling away? I haven't fallen from grace. I haven't fallen from salvation. I'm still in grace, and I'm still in salvation. I'm still in Christ. And I believe God's eternal word. Back of the every one of these promises here is the great I Am. I am God Himself. And He's not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. He said, what I've said is going to be, it's so. I'm mighty to save. I'm mighty to keep you saved. And He's proving that through all the generations, through every saint in glory. And when we get there to glory, and we'll see one another there, and we'll say, praise the Lord, you know, what a salvation we have. Oh, the mighty Savior that saved us. And you hear, you see people here. Of course, I know salvation's by grace. And people will find their fun, their pleasures in sin and everything else and think that's the greatest thing in this life. And that's all there is to it. Well, I did think that way one time. But praise the Lord that He's given us a mighty Savior that's able to change our minds and change our thoughts and turn us from our wicked way and give us good, clean thoughts and good ways to travel in and put us on the road that leads to glory. And I'm going to rejoice and praise the Lord and go on. I may be beaten down at times, but never forsaken. Praise the Lord. Yes, workers, many times we get tired at our work and on our jobs. And we're beaten down at times. But brother, when I realize I've got a mighty Savior and a mighty force about me who's praying for me and that He'll never forsake me, I can go on in my weaknesses. I can. And travel along the way, triumphing in Christ, who is a mighty Savior. Yes, I got up this morning kind of tired. I told my wife, honey, I don't feel like getting up. But I knew I had to get up. I knew my sufficiency was not of myself, but of the Lord. Go and preach the gospel and leave the results with me. Many times we want to become a little discouraged, but when we hear of the Lord awakening this sinner, awakening that one off his profession, off of their empty religious profession, and see how the Lord is working here and there, and then how it just wants, it puts new fighting in us and power within us to go on. God is doing the work, not man, not you and I. Preach the gospel in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all authority. Because there's coming a day when there'll be some who will not endure sound doctrine. And the Word tells us they'll turn away to other teachers having itching ears. Brother, I'm telling you, the gospel is the power of God. I cannot say that, put the emphasis enough on that one word, power. The gospel is the power of God. It'll break your prejudices. It'll break your rebellion. It'll break all of your scheming and all of your lying and all of your ill saying and all of your cursing. It'll break everything in your life and give you new influences, new speech. You'll have a new governor, a new head. But if your individual constantly lives on in bitterness and always bitter, always fussing, always fuming, always complaining, don't think they're being treated right. Well, that's a good sign the gospel hadn't worked this work in that heart. There's nothing going on in that heart. There's more to this. I'm going to continue next Sunday, the Lord willing. But the gospel will change your life. You'll love one another. You'll love God's people. And I'll tell you something else. If you're saved, you were saved within yourself. If God were to send you to hell, He won't. You'll say the hottest place in hell would be too good for you. That's how much you appreciate the gospel. That's how much you appreciate a great Savior. What a Savior. And my heart's desire that every one of you, my young people, elder people, will come to know Him. Come to know the power of God in your life. Instead of your own power, your own influences, but that you'll be influenced by the gospel. Come to know a great Savior, a mighty Savior, mighty to save. Let's stand.